Take your Bible out, and we're going to go to a lot of places, but mostly Acts 12 tonight. I won't keep you a long time this evening, but I do have a word from the Lord that I believe is relevant to where we are today prophetically as a people, and understand why it is you've been struggling the way you have been, maybe some of the attacks that have come against your family. Sometimes if the enemy can't take you down, he'll do his best to take those closest to you down and do what he can to attack them. And it's with the purpose of stealing the life of God from you, to take the life of God from you, the ministry from you. Jesus said he has come to give us life and that more abundantly. So the enemy, he's a thief. He steals, kills, and he destroys. So he's going to come and do what he can to steal away that life, steal away that deposit that God has made. And in Acts chapter 12, that's exactly what is playing out for us as it is demonstrated there in the scriptures. But first of all, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you'll see that we don't wrestle or fight. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. It is with an unseen power, unseen forces, and their attempt is to do two things: conceal and contain the very life of God that is within us. There's a story of a young man that was climbing this large mountain, and the air was very thin, and he was being overtaken by exhaustion, and just about ready to give up, and thought there's no way that he could make the summit. And here comes an older gentleman down the same trail that he was trekking up to reach the summit, and he said just a few words to him. He said, "It's closer than you think." That was an enabling word that made him, you know, get the fortitude to go ahead and keep on trekking. And 10 minutes later, sure enough, he reached the summit. But I just want to bring that word to you tonight. You're closer than what you think. And I don't want you to be overcome or overwhelmed by the attack or the resistance that you're experiencing, because you're closer than you think. And you're going to make it. There is a release of the life of God that has to come in this hour of this generation like we've never seen before. Not religiosity, not our Christian dogma, but the life of God in unusual times and places. And this is what has to be broken out. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 12. Now, you'll notice in this chapter, there were soldiers and guards, and they represent the enemy's attempt to conceal and contain the ministry calling that's upon every person that names the name of Jesus. And this text in Acts chapter 12 encourages us that there is no chain and there is no prison cell or no containment, no iron gate that will not yield to the will of God. So if you're feeling as though you're being held back or contained, it's only momentary. It cannot contain you. And you don't want to give up. You don't want to quit now. You're closer than you think, right? So this is what we have to get into our mind as we look at this particular text in Acts chapter 12. And the story, it relays to us the importance of a complete and absolute trust in God, no matter what situation you find yourself in. And they could be pretty grave at times. I mean, we could be going through some things that, boy, can take your breath away. But realize that God has a plan, and there is no weapon that's going to be custom made or formulated to destroy you or defeat you or hold you back, because the church is finally understanding our place in your ministry release. See, this is what we've had difficulty with in the past, because we have been so intimidated as leaders to release people into their ministry because of intimidations, thinking that, you know, it's no longer the main show. Well, it's not a main show. This is the Jesus show, right? This is not the pastor show or the bishop show or the reverend show. It's the Jesus show, right? And so realize that this is a time where when we understand the power that's in the church to release the ministry life of other people. You know, I'm in relationship with you with specific strategy in mind. God crossed our paths not just to sit in the same building together a couple times a week or to know each other or to do ministry together. But our paths have crossed for me to take my position of authority to make sure you're released into the ministry that God has placed within you. There is greatness inside every person in this room. There are unseen gifts that have yet to be manifest. There are ministry insights and abilities that have yet to be released in you. And when I know that and I can begin to believe that and begin to pray for you, no containment and no concealment of any kind on any level or degree can hold you back. You're coming in to your ministry. That's all there is to it. And so I get excited when I see people walk through the door because I know that's another assignment God's given me to pray for them into their position of release of ministry of where the Holy Spirit has assigned them. And it's not just filling a position in the local church. That might be part of it. But you didn't come here to help us as much as you came here for us to help you. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 12. Now, here's what happened. Acts chapter 12, if you look at verse 1, do we have that scripture on the screen? Yeah. It talks about Herod, and I was reading in the Message Bible. Somebody left their Message Bible over there. If they don't claim it, I'm going to grab it because I always can use an extra Message Bible. But no name in it. I looked already. It said, now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, this is important because, yeah, you can go to verse 2. Herod here is the grandson. But it's the same spirit. And this is what I want us to grab hold of today, because there is a spiritual warfare or battle. It's the same spirit that Peter dealt with, that you and I are dealing with tonight. It's a Herod spirit, if you will. But look at verse 2. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. If you can continue in verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also, and that was the days of the unleavened bread. So let me just stop there for a minute with the scripture and go back to Herod. Herod the Great was the one that ruled at the time of Jesus' birth. He is the one who killed all the male babies 2 years old and under. That was Herod the Great. Herod Antipas, he is the one that by being bedazzled by the young dancer, ordered the head of John the Baptist. So it was Herod Antipas. But this one here in Acts 12 is Herod Agrippa the First. He is the grandson of Herod the Great. But what I want you to see in these three Herod types, and we don't have time to talk about each of them, but they all have the same spirit. And that is to destroy the life of ministry, to wipe it off the face of the earth, if you will. And so we have to understand it represents a personality, a demonic entity, if you will. And it's important to notice something about the end of this whole story in Acts 12. The same angel, the same sword that delivers Peter judges Herod. So it's a two-edged sword. It's a sword of deliverance for the believer, but it's a sword of judgment against this spirit. And I want to give you a couple of characteristics of this spirit. First of all, we find it in verse 1. He mistreats his own citizens. He unjustly orders the rest of Jewish believers in order to harass them. So it is a harassing spirit. It is a mistreating of the people he should be upholding. In verse 2, it says he executed James. He killed innocent people. He did what he can to limit the apostolic effect in his generation. In verse 3, he made decisions based on popularity and not upon God's word. When he saw that he pleased the Jews to kill James, that's when he arrested Peter. In verse 19, he acted irrationally. He killed the 16 guards who had been on duty at the time Peter escaped. He thought, I'll just kill all of you. So he's an irrational thinker. In verse 20, he harbored anger. He looked for ways to get even. He was full of revenge. Acts 12, verses 21 and 22, he projected an infallibility or an image likened unto a god. He elevated himself above the people. He loved wearing his royal robe and being worshipped. Acts 12, 23, he was totally blinded by his ego. He lived in a make-believe world. Acts 12 points out these characteristics of the Spirit to instruct us to improve our own character. In other words, I don't want to be like Herod. I don't want to be puffed up. I don't want to come across as infallible. I don't want to be self-serving. Neither do you. It is a spirit of this age. And that spirit is what stifles the life of ministry in believers. So you and I need to find a group of people that we can fellowship with who believe in us. And I love telling people I believe in them, because I know that you are carrying a treasure in your earthen vessel, deposited by God Almighty. Now, the key in this whole story is a praying church. The key component to releasing other people into their ministry call and to break every containment and concealing factor is prayer. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison or containment, but constant prayer was offered to him, offered to God for him by the church. It is important where you go to church. And I'm not saying that to say that we're the perfect church. We're not. I'm saying that because you want to tie in to the personality of a not self-serving ministry, but a self-sacrificial ministry. Because your release of ministry life in you is dependent upon the intercession and the prayer stand to release you of that house. That house, that local church, ought to have a burden to see you released and then celebrate you in your level of ministry expression. So this is what happened in Acts 12 and 5. And we know that that's ultimately what happened. Peter came out of prison. But the 16 guards were posted in the inner prison for a purpose. And they were to prevent supernatural releases and deliverances among the apostles. There was a reputation among the church that if you try to destroy the church will rise up stronger. That is characteristics of God's people, by the way. The more they're persecuted, the stronger they become. The more they're pushed down, the stronger they come back. It is characteristic of the true people of God. They don't become bitter. We don't become angry. We don't become revengeful. We come back full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Well, there was a reputation about these apostles. And so Herod said, put 16 guards around them so that there is no supernatural release or deliverance among them. The supernatural release and deliverance of this generation, the spirit of this age is doing everything it can to prevent that from happening. And here's how it's doing it. Not by not believing in supernatural, because this world believes in supernatural probably more than the average church member. But it's doing it by keeping our focus off of our deliverance mechanism. And that is our relationship with one another, our celebration of your gifting, and my commitment to pray that it be released in your life. As long as he can get us focusing on everything else but that, then the guards are in place and there is little or less supernatural deliverances and manifestations in the kingdom of God because you're not flowing in your gifting. Because you're contained, you're concealed. And so the enemy has caused us to refocus on things that are not as important. Oh, they're important. Sure, you have to have committees and churches and organization and infrastructure and you have to do all those things, but not at the expense of heartfelt intercession and prayer one for another. Never. That's why it's vital to learn how to tag somebody in prayer and say, I'm not letting them go until I see them come into another level of ministry in their life. It becomes a silent partner. You become a silent partner behind the scenes. And when you begin hearing the testimony of the breakthroughs in their life or the release of God in their life or the excitement or the regaining of ground in their life, you sit back and you just smile and you say, yeah, I knew that was going to happen because I just could sense that. I could feel that. I knew that about you. I have been interceding for you. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, knock and it will be given to you. Or ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. 2 Corinthians 1:10-11 is a powerful scripture. It says this. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. And whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us. That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Notice the word deliver was mentioned twice or three times. Who delivered us, who does deliver us, and who will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us. My deliverance out of the containment into my ministry expression was as a result of you praying for me. My continuation as a pastor for all of these years isn't because I'm full of discipline and full of the Holy Spirit and I'm resolved to serve God as much as it is. I have been blessed by people who have connected to me in intercession. They've kept me. And they have launched me into other levels. The reason why I have been able to transition from one level to another is because of the intercessors who have prompted me, who have released me from the containment that the enemy has attempted to conceal the gifting of God in my life. I know that. It's the success of any ministry. So Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're admonished to pray always in supplication in the Spirit. We're praying always for all the saints. Philippians 1:19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, often I'll have people, they'll say, well, I'm praying for you. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm glad to hear that. But are you? You know, just because it's a Christian thing to do, well, we'll be praying. Well, how much did you pray about that? I mean, I want to be able to connect to know the fact that you dropped to your knees the moment I hung up. Or on a continual basis, you are mentioning my name. And I know that you are. I know that here. I can sense that and feel that. And that's what draws me into another level, another revelation. That's what gave me another one this week. I'm amazed at the Holy Spirit. Last week when God gave me the insights about the difference between possibility and impossibility, I thought that was the last sermon I'll ever get from God the rest of my life. Tuesday morning comes, I sit down on my desk, I say, okay, Holy Spirit, we got to do this again. What are we going to say? I had no idea. Something flashed across my Yahoo page. And the Holy Spirit said, read it. And I read it, and I'm preaching it Sunday. But how did I see that? I talked to other people about it. They didn't see it. I'm testing people. Did you see that article? Well, yeah, I saw it. What did it say to you? I don't know, nothing really. You didn't see it. I saw it. But you know why I saw it? Because you took me to another place. Because in the place that I was, I couldn't see it. But because of your prayers, you delivered me from where I was into a perspective that when I saw it, I really saw it. And now I'm going to be able to disclose what I saw. But had it not been for your prayers, I would have missed it. You follow what I'm saying? How many believe that? Can I see your hand? Okay, I'm in the right church. All right. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent and with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying for us also, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Paul's saying, look, I can't do this without your release of prayer. I can't do this. I don't have an open door of ministry. I got so excited about that insight. And again, I was home alone. I was in my office alone, and all I could do was shout and say, thank you, Jesus. Got up out of my chair and jumped around a little bit, sat back down, and kept on writing. As soon as Tina came home, I grabbed my computer. I said, look at this. This is awesome. You need to see this. It was powerful, but it was from a perspective of which I was launched toward by intercessors who've connected to me, who will not allow me to be contained in an inner prison with guards preventing the manifestation of supernatural disclosure. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why it's so important. You got to focus on somebody. You got to draw them into where God has planned them to be through your intercession and your prayers. I just showed you that in about five scriptures. Now, this is an interesting point because the question comes here as to why Peter and the apostles are to be delivered by angels out of prison, and yet Paul was left in prison, writing letters to the churches he founded. Someone could say, well, how come Paul wasn't delivered? Maybe he didn't have anybody praying for him. Oh, why is Paul stoned to death and raised up, and Stephen is stoned to death and he's buried? Why should God let James be beheaded on the same night Peter's to be beheaded? He sends an angel to deliver him out of the prison. Well, you love James more than you love Peter? Do you love Paul more than you love Stephen? What's going on here, God? Are people praying for these guys and not praying enough for them? So you've got to be careful that you don't get locked into that, because religion will suck you in to works. And people will say, well, you don't have enough faith. You're not praying enough. Wait a minute, at some point, and I don't fully understand it. I don't fully understand it, but God rules in the heavens and in the earth. And his sovereign will is being done in all and above all and through all, in spite of men and devils. People will ask me, but why did they die? Why didn't they get healed? I don't know. Well, did they have enough faith? Don't go there. I know this. I don't live in this dimension. Although I walk around in it, I'm not of it. I am in an eternal dimension. And right now it is God's choosing that he permit my spirit to be contained in this natural body and be expressed through this soul. But there's coming a day where I'm going to take this tent down, and I will no longer be contained by this natural physical realm. I will be alive more than y'all. I'm not going to end. I'm just changing dimensions. I might be able to see you according to Hebrews 12. You won't be able to see me, but I got your back. You see what I'm saying? We've got to get the perspective of God on these things. That's why Romans 8, 28. What a great scripture. I know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. I may be in prison tonight. I may be contained. I may be having all hell break loose around me. But you know what? I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to get some rest. And that's what Peter did. He went to sleep. He was so full of confidence that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. He said, good night. I'm going to get some rest. Why? Because he knew that God was faithful. Amen? He knew that God was faithful. Now, all believers must manifest faith, whether they're delivered or not. It takes faith to be delivered, and it takes faith when one is not delivered. You think about it. We like to preach the first half of Hebrews 11, but you don't hear a lot of sermons on the second half of Hebrews 11. You know, the part where they were sawn asunder, where they were fed to the lions, where the scripture says that this world was not even worthy of their presence. You say, well, they didn't get delivered. Oh, yes, they did. You might even want to say that about our friend Al. He didn't get delivered. Oh, yes, he did. Because I know what the book has to say about eternity. There's a transference of dimensions. And we see that God has this perfect plan. This natural realm is not my true dwelling. And neither is my final destination. I don't live to stay here. I'm leaving here. Goodbye, earth. It was nice knowing you. But this is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm enjoying my stay. The older I get, the less I enjoy it. I got a feeling he kind of prepares you to make the transition. Things that I thought were important are not as important anymore. I don't really have any desire for that. And I find the longing and the yearning. The more I'm exposed to the glory, that I want to be there and not necessarily here. But Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as a dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. I'm telling you tonight, you're not in the Egyptian chariot. You're not in any house. You're in a house with a scarlet thread hanging from its window. You've been marked by God. No matter what the enemy will try to do, he cannot destroy you. Jesus even said this, fear not those that can kill the body, but kill the soul. You can't touch this, devil. And I know now, because I'm connecting to a true body of Christ, that there are intercessors that are taking me to another perspective of revelation and insight. And I'm going to release my ministry greater than I've ever had before. No matter where God takes me, there is going to be ministry opportunity. Hebrews 12 and verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and he went to another place. I like that last phrase of the scripture. He departed and he went to another place. His next level came through the local church. Remember when he came out of prison, where did he go? He went to the house. Y'all in there praying, I can hear you. Open up the door. This is Peter. Somebody go get that door. We're in here trying to pray, and there's somebody knocking on the door. And it's Peter. He's at the door. He's the focus of the prayer. And he's at the door knocking. And all of a sudden, they open the door, and they go, I think it's Peter. She said, you're crazy. It must be his spirit. It must be his ghost. It can't be him. He's in the prison. That just tells you how much faith they had in their intercession. Here they are praying for his release. He shows up and they can't believe it's him at the door. Right? But it was him. But notice, he didn't go to the other place until he went to the house. Again, why it's important to be in the right house, connected to the right personality of the kingdom of God. Not necessarily a church, a location geographically, but the personality of the kingdom of God. Because that is the place that launches you to your next level. Man, I am excited about it. And I'm not kidding you when I say, God, I don't think I could ever get another sermon. I drive home on Sunday after here, and it's like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm thinking, God, is there anything else left in that Bible to say? Pastor Tossie, you know what I'm talking about? You think, surely there's no more sermons left. What am I going to do for next week? I just spent the whole week studying. 5 hours, 6 hours, praying over it. Delivered it in about 45, 50 minutes. It's over. Now what? I can't do the same thing again next week. You open up the Bible and you can't find a thing. I read scriptures and I think, well, I could probably preach on it, but it doesn't resonate in my spirit. It doesn't feel like it's God. And then suddenly, a news ticker on Yahoo and a picture. And I read it and my spirit jumps like Elizabeth when Mary showed up with Jesus in her womb. And I go, oh, glory to God. I think I got a sermon for Sunday. And I can't believe it. I didn't even get it out of the Bible. I got it off of Yahoo. I got it off the net news. I got it off the sports page. That's the craziest thing in the world. Because I'm in another place. And it came through my connection with the personality of the kingdom that I'm connected with. I feel the prayer. I know the prayer. I sense the love. I know the commitment. And I'm thinking, God, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Doesn't matter. You see, there's another place for you in worship. There's another place for you in your ministry. There's another place for you in your marriage. There's another place for you in your finances. There's another place for you in every dimension of life. And it comes through connection to the right personality of the kingdom. You got to believe that. You have to understand it's a biblical principle, Acts chapter 12. And the angels were on their job in spite of the soldiers, in spite of the guards, Herod's orders and prison cells and chains. God rescues Peter out of prison by sending an angel of the Lord. That is so awesome to me. It's like, excuse me, get out of the way, excuse me. Angel just walks right in. And it says in verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door was keeping the prison. And the angel had to actually wake him up. Come on, Peter, we're leaving. What? Who is it? What's going on? Who are you? What day is it? He was so out of it, he didn't even realize it was the angel of the Lord. And realize something, you have angels all over your life. All over your life. Are they not all ministering spirits, Hebrews says, 1 in verse 14, sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? Wow, God would think enough of me to assign me personal escorts every day? To arrange my day? To go before me and negotiate my day? To set up appointments divinely ordered by God from the foundations of the world? To cross my path at the appointed time, angels working? Not only keep me safe, but to open up opportunities, doors of opportunity, blessings, put me in the right place at the right time. Wow, some of us keep our angels real busy, don't we? Knowing you're in prison, knowing James had just been beheaded, knowing he was next, he was confident of God's mighty power to save. Are you confident of God's mighty power to save? Man, I hope so. Sound asleep, confident of God's mighty power to save. Acts 12 and verse 10. And when they were past the first, the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. That's remote control before they discovered remote control, right? It just opened on its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Three levels of bondage. First, the 16 guards in the chains. The second, the guard post. And then the iron gate that leads to the city. All three levels were defeated. Acts 12:11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." The expectation of the Jewish people. The expectation of those who thought that you would fail. The expectation of those who thought you would never amount to anything. The expectation of those who said you wouldn't raise the $40,000 to pay for it because all that came in was $739. And you know how the enemy likes to speak and remind you of that. And I have to point back to him and say, "Don't bother me, I have to take a nap. Because I know that my God is able." In other words, I am confident. I am confident that my God is bigger. Don't try to magnify this problem because it has to become sub-problem. atomic. It has to become very small because it has to walk through the wall of this impossibility, you see. So I'm not allowing you to magnify it and make it bigger than what it really is. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to make everything so big, so out of proportion that it couldn't fit sideways through a barn door. But not when you make God big. Hallelujah. Not when you make God big. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The key is delivered from not only prison, but the expectations of Herod and the people. You are delivered from the devil's expectation of destruction. He wants to prove that he is right, and God says, not on my watch. That's why you need people connected to you that believe in you, that no matter what's happened to you and no matter what you have done, there's still a redeemer. There's still a blood that cleanses, amen, and a spirit that empowers, and there's a grace that is unmerited. And God said, I can because I will. And you get around that kind of an atmosphere and nothing can hold you down. Nothing can hold you back. You're not disadvantaged one bit. You got to start thinking big because you're closer than what you think. Think big. Think the bottom line. In other words, if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is really for me, if Acts 12 is a principle of application for the modern church of the 21st century, and if I believe that, then why am I worried? Why am I fretting? Why am I concerned about this? I got to start thinking big. Then I need to think continual growth. This is going to get bigger. This is going to get more effective. This is going to spread out. This is going to expand. Peter moved to another place. You're going to another place. You're not staying where you've been unless you choose to. The only person that can prevent you going to another place is you. Because I'm telling you, you're in the right atmosphere. You're in the right place. You're in a place that where we believe in people. We believe that you are awesome, mighty. You are the redeemed. You are Holy Spirit filled. You are empowered of God. You are anointed. You are creative. You are powerful. You are beautiful. You are talented. You are a deposit of God in you. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. That's why we declare those things on a Sunday, to remind you of who we think you are. You say, well, I don't think that's all. I don't believe that about me. That's all right. Keep pouring the clean water in the muddy glass water, and eventually all that muddy water is going to be washed out, and we're going to convince you that you're more than a conqueror, amen, through Christ our Lord, right? Hallelujah. So you got to think continual growth. You got to think without lines or boundaries. Let God out of the box. Let God out of the box and start thinking victory. Think quickly. Whatever God says to you to do, do it. Go fill up those water pots with water. Why? Why? Shh, go do it. Think quickly. Holy Spirit says, go talk to that person over there. I don't know him. And what if they think I'm crazy? And shh, just go do it. Think quickly. Act quickly. If God says jump, ask. How high? I'm not asking questions of why. I'm just going to move. I'm gonna move into this thing. Psalm 37, 7 and 8 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Different perspectives come when we are quiet and we think and we refuse to fret. We refuse to get into discouragement. We refuse to despair. We refuse to get angry. We refuse to seek revenge. When I let those things go, revelation comes, perspective comes, God comes. Cease striving. and know that I am the Lord. God, that was you coming down that mountain. That older guy, that was God. And he was trying to tell me, this younger man, it's closer than when you think. You don't fret. Don't you worry about it. It's closer than you think. Put your hope in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Learn to release the power of God through faith-based prayer of a righteous man. I want to employ us tonight in prayer. I want us to make a commitment to God to pray one for another. And not just that they be blessed, but that they would be released from any containment, from any concealing that the enemy has laid on them. This foul Herod spirit is cruel. And his goal was that there would be no apostolic release and supernatural manifestation. But we're going to pray one for another. We're going to believe that this is not going to be the case. We're going to be released into our purpose and our destiny. I'm so thankful to come to church with such great warriors, mighty Christian men and women, powerful disciples of Jesus. I don't think you know how awesome you are. You have God's life on the inside of you. Yeah, but keep the but out of it. We're going to pray that you be released from that containment. Would you make that commitment with me tonight? Let's do it right now. Lord, right where we sit, we make this commitment that we are going to be those that stand in the gap, those that intercede to bring the greatness out of your people. Hallelujah. Lord, we need to remind every person that walks through the door of this facility that they are on a divine assignment, that they are the apple of your eye, that they are a part of eternal strategy for the earth. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you right now. Angels, I pray that you be dispatched now into the homes and businesses, into the daily lives of your blessed people tonight, that they would see the deliverance, that they would rest in the Lord and expect you, O God, to open up the windows of heaven. Lord, right now, as a church, may we adopt this personality. May we be like those that are praying at the church house for Peter's release daily. May we pray one for another, O God. Our worship leaders to go to another level. Our preachers to go to another level. Our deacons to go to another level. Every church member to go to another level. Every husband to go to another level. Father, we thank you that our evangelism efforts are going to go to another level. Thank you that our children are going to go to another level. Father, we're not staying where we've been because we are committed to pray the prayer of release. Now, I pray that over every person tonight. I speak the prayer of release over every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I pray the prayer of release of the God life in them, the greatness of God in them. Let it be released in spite of what Herod has tried to do to them, to contain them and conceal them. I thank you tonight, God, that there is no containment, there is no concealing that can ever override the deliverance and the victory of the presence of the angel of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring those into complete and total victory. Take them now, God, to another place and another level in you. We fully expect this to happen. In the name of Jesus. Now stand with me, please. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up to heaven. And begin to thank the Lord for another level, another place in Him. God, we don't know in the natural how. We can't figure it out. But God, we know that you're taking us there. You're taking us there. We're hungry for it. We want it, God. We don't want to stay where we were yesterday. It's not enough for today's fight. We need a new battle plan, God. We need a new vision, Father. We need to see further and higher and beyond where we've ever seen before. Oh, God, thank you. We thank you, Lord. Open our eyes that we will see. Open our eyes. Open our hearts, God. Let us be receptive to the very voice of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're comfortable tonight, just reach over to someone and put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them, the release of God's life in them in the fullest. In spite of, come on, in spite of everything the enemy has attempted, whether it's been past addictions or failures, or whether it's been a self-image problem, or whether it's been an abuse situation, or whether it's been a physical impairment of any kind. These are just guards, and these are just prison cells. But I pray tonight, come on, just pray for them that they would be released into the God life in a new dimension. No matter what the enemy has tried to do, God will turn the evil thing into a good thing, because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And we just pray for that tonight, God, that you would do a miraculous thing in my friend, in my spouse, in my children, those around me, my friends, God. We're not going to give up on the Peters of this generation. We're not giving up on the apostolic of this time. We know, God, that we must do signs and wonders. We must operate in the gifts of the Spirit at another level, in a new dimension. Father, release us into the kingdom of God. Release us into the kingdom life on another level, in another dimension. And praise you, Jesus, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, whatever God puts on your heart to give, if you would, on the way out, please give it. If you're tithe, you can take this offering envelope. If you're giving toward that $39,300 mountain, we say move and it shall obey us. Then put on there and give. But thank you so much for your faithfulness. We'll see on Sunday morning, if you're coming for the funeral service, 10 o'clock Saturday. See Betty if you're going to volunteer for any of the food and serving. Is there anything else I need to remind anyone of? I think I've pretty much got it all. Well, live right, love everybody, pray hard. See you next time. God bless you.